Blog Talk Radio.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Now I can. I couldn't before.
It dumped me off. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Dave the Mystic, show number 42, The Science and Magic of Numbers and Spiritual Guidance for Real-Life Solutions, with guest Francois Netter. This is April 25th, 2011, from Littleton, Colorado. Just a few announcements. If you're in the Denver area, please mark your calendars. Dave the Mystic will be a reader at the Full Moon Bookstore Psychic Fair held on the second Sunday each month. May 8th is the next one at 6th and Garrison, the southwest corner in Denver. The times are noon to 5 p.m. If you've registered with Blog Talk Radio, you can see and join in the chat. We hold a drawing on the last show of each month, which is today, and award a free hour of my intuitive services to one of our listeners who has signed up through my website at www.holisticbeliefs.com. Please feel free to email me with comments after the show if you'd like, or posting comments with feedback. Our guest tonight is Francois Netter. Francois has been giving clairvoyant readings since she was 9 years old, when she first learned how to read palms and began dreaming about events that would then unfold in daily life. In her 20s, she began to read people's astrological signs by seeing a quality and texture in their eyes that allowed her to articulate and discern the different signs and elements in their charts. In 1980, she discovered numerology and began to channel her intuition through numerological readings. Francois has given thousands of readings and had clients from all over the world in every walk of life, from restaurant owners to psychiatrists to conference presenters, scientists, and corporate executives. She has given numerous psychic fairs, private parties and events, fundraisers, lectures, classes, and television and radio appearances as a psychic numerologist throughout California, Colorado, New York, and Hawaii. Francois will give two readings towards the end of the show tonight. So welcome, Francois.
Hello, Dave, or good evening, shall I say. I'm back in Colorado.
For everybody to hear, Francois has recently moved back from California to Colorado, so it's a little bit of a change in climate, but we're happy to have her back. It's our gain.
Thank you.
Well, last time you were on the show, you did some mini readings for people. This time, we'd like to hear more about numbers and numerology with a lot more detail.
Okay. Where would you like me to begin?
Well, tell us about the meaning of numbers.
You know, people, it's interesting. When they find out that I have been doing numerology for many years now, it's incredible how time keeps passing forward. People always ask me, they always comment, and they say, you know, it's really bizarre, but I've always had this special connection to numbers. What is that? And then people will call me, and they will say, you know, I always see these specific numbers whenever I look at the clock, or if I wake up in the middle of the night, or it just seems like, you know, numbers, the same numbers keep popping up for me. And they always ask me, why does this happen? And even though I can't really answer that specifically, I know personally for me, certain numbers were also very prominent my whole life. And I think the reason for that is that as we look at the scheme of things, we have these, for lack of a better word, clues and these signposts. And I really do believe that numbers are one of them. The type of numerology that I learned in 1980 and have been doing ever since comes originally from the mathematician Pythagoras. And in the Greek times, they were very, very wedded to numbers. And so the kind of numerology that I do is based on the numbers 1 through 9 and everything really folding into those 9 numbers, except for about 7 exceptions. So like today, I got my car work done because, as you know, as I drove to California and back, I wanted to make sure my car was in good working condition after all those miles. And he didn't know I did numerology. And he said to me, you know, it's really interesting. He said, the number 29 has always been extraordinarily significant for me. And I go, you mean the number 11? And he goes, no, the number 29. And so I began to explain to him that, you know, according to Pythagoras and the Pythagorean method of numerology, all numbers are broken down from 1 to 9, except for 7 exceptions, and 11 happens to be one of them. So I think that, you know, numbers are, as I said, they can be used as blueprints. They're signposts. And each one of them has a symbolic nature that then is also corresponding to our lives.
Okay. Well, you immediately make me want to go into something. Why do we see 11-11 and 12-12 so often? And what do those mean?
Well, you know, I can't remember now. What is it? How many years ago was it the 11-11? We kept saying that this is all part of the Mayan calendar and the New Age. And 11 in numerology is actually one of those mystical numbers or numbers that is not broken down from 1 to 9. The 11 is corresponding to the planet Uranus, which is, you know, one of the planets that we see in sidereal astrology. And it corresponds to a time of change, of technology, of healing, and of shocks that can occur in sort of a lightning way, just like the planet Uranus, which has quick, constant changes, lightning changes. And so the 11 corresponds to that. So it's about awakening to this new time where we can sort of integrate our spiritual knowledge with our time here on Earth. So it's not something separate. And 11 is very much about that. It's about awakening to that spiritual intensity, to utilizing that intuitive genius, visionary input, and creating a practical path for it. And so that's the 11-11. It really is about taking that spiritual, intuitive knowledge and putting it down here on Earth in a healing way or utilizing technology. 11 also corresponds to a very public kind of view or a public role. Jimmy Carter had a lot of 11s in his chart. And it also deals with being a peacemaker and a negotiator. So when we see the number 11, we're looking at all those qualities of awakening.
Okay.
Now, 12 is dealing with the number 3, which is all about creativity. And bringing that creativity into communication. It's also the number of the child and expressing that, you know, not holding it in, not being repressive, but really being able to be expressive.
Okay, my mom had a clock, and after my mother's parents died when she was comparatively young, the clock that she got from them was a mechanical clock. And frequently when she would approach a significant decision in her life in raising, as a single mom, 4 boys, then the clock would stop at 12-12. And
wow.
It was kind of a, you know, became apparent as kind of a signal from her parents to her, but you're, you know, turning that into, you know, threes also, it sounds like almost in tongue-in-cheek, it's a creative way to get a hold of her.
Exactly. I really believe that about numbers. I was born on 7/7, and I was born at 7 minutes past 7, and I weighed 7 pounds, 7 ounces. And my mother, I was born in Belgium, and my mother said that not only was, you know, I was born with red hair, but all the sevens, the nurses were like just, you know, they were fighting over this. And I go, my God, how could this child have come in with so many sevens? And I think it was really, but it was part of, and I was told that as a little girl, I was already told about all my sevens. And I think for me, it was part of holding on to a symbolic value, because my childhood was actually quite difficult, and being able to know that there was something, a strand that was carrying throughout my life that I could hold on to, a signpost, was very, very comforting to me. And it's been there my whole life. I mean, I really didn't think I'd become, you know, I'd actually work with numbers, but I remember the seven always being extraordinarily significant. And then learning about what the seven means. I mean, if we look at, you know, the seven even in biblical terms, we look at, you know, God created the world in 7 days, and, you know, the number seven comes up over and over again. And so it was interesting, because it was definitely part of my faith, part of holding on through those tough times, that signpost of the number seven.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd be somebody I guess I'd want to take to the casino and go get on the craps table and start shooting the sevens.
I know, that's right. That's right. I knew. Too bad I'm not a gambler. I remember on my birthday, though. I do remember it was 7/7/2007, and I happened to be in Los Angeles, and I remember the radio all the TV stations here called me to interview me, and what's the significance of 7/7/7, you know, 7/7/07. I go, it's my birthday. And I remember being in California, and I thought, this is the time. I never, ever, I really don't gamble, but I thought, today I am going to buy a lottery ticket. And do you know that they were completely sold out by the time I got to them in California? Sorry, wait a minute. It's my birthday. Sorry.
Everybody's buying sevens, I guess.
Oh, well, they were that day. They were that day. Oh, goodness. But I wonder if any of your callers have any questions. And if they don't, we will, you know, we'll see what else we can answer intuitively for them.
Sure. So tell us a little bit more about numerology and how it works. What's your intuitive sense of how it connects or ties into people?
Well, I'll tell you the mechanics first, and then I'll talk to you about why it works. The mechanics of it, which some people might be interested in, is we utilize the name on the birth certificate. And that's very, very, very significant. So whether it was baby girl green or baby boy black, doesn't matter. That name on the certificate is what's important, even if there were, you know, mistakes made. And then also the birth date. And from those two pieces of information unfolds an entire chart, which can go very definitively into the past and then can also go into the prediction of the future. And what was astonishing for me, because I thought that numerology was actually a bunch of hogwash when I first heard about it and really didn't want to go into it, but I began to see that for me it's always been about, well, prove it to me, you know, how can this relate? Show me the money, show me how it works. And I began to see in very, very profound ways that there was really something to it. And for me, it became a great resource and a great source of grounding. So when you take the name on the birth certificate and the birth date, as I said, you unfold an entire chart. Now, what was also astonishing to me is that I would do readings for people who were going by the name, let's say they were going by the name Christina, Cherry, I can't even remember her last, Kimmler, let's say. But they were born with the name Susan Murphy Jones. And the part that was, and this happened over and over again, even though the name they took on as adults was completely different than their birth name, 99% of the time, the numbers on the main part of the chart were the same, if not extraordinarily similar. So you had some of those same blueprints. And what I see about numerology is that it does, in fact, allow a blueprint, just like a blueprint for a house. Now, what you do with that blueprint, what you do with the landscaping, what happens to it afterwards, of course, is free will. It's the same thing if you have a blueprint for a house, depending upon the color that you make the walls, depending upon, the temperature, depending upon the environment itself, it's going to alter that blueprint slightly. But it's the same thing with numerology. It offers a blueprint, and certain lessons that I think we come into this lifetime with, and then we can either make the greatest choice, we can take it to the extreme of greatness with those numbers, or we can just continue to evolve or not evolve, but revolve around the lessons. And each number comes with it some strengths and also, some lessons or weaknesses that we can overcome. So I see numerology very much like a blueprint.
Okay. Well, can you walk through the numbers and their qualities or identities?
Absolutely. If you look at the number one, what does it signal to you?
Something that's single, alone, unitary.
Yeah, the number one is definitely the leader. And anyone who has a one prominent in their chart is going to be someone that will always walk to a different drumbeat. They always have to be the one that sort of paves that, paveless path. They have to be the bushwhacker. And they are often leaders. And sometimes they do have to stand alone. They prefer often working for themselves or having a great deal of freedom. And they are unique. That's their signature, is to lead and be unique. And, but ones do best when they have other people also supporting them. So it's not so much that they need to be alone as that unique nature comes out through them.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then the two is, you can see it's like curved line, goes around. And the two is very much about partnership. The one may be very quick-witted and may be very not subtle, but upfront. And the two is subtle. The two will do whatever it can to not upset the cart. And it works very well in partnership. They often are very musical, very sensitive to music, to words, to dance. But you will see the one out there making it happen, and you see the two being more supportive, more cooperative, more about keeping the peace. So sometimes the one has to learn how to be more subtle, a little bit more diplomatic. They can often be a little bit abrasive. And the two has to learn how to express their feelings more directly. They can sometimes be passive-aggressive. So when you see these numbers in a person's chart, someone might have, ones and twos. And then often what happens is they have a little bit of that conflict within themselves, between being direct and a little passive-aggressive and having to work that out within themselves. And then the three is the number of creativity, the number of the child, of expression, of fun, of play. So you see them often really having to express their voice, express their creativity. And for some people, that's really tough. because, as you know, it's not like we come from a culture where creativity is rewarded. What's rewarded in our culture? Money, right? So
yeah.
Success in terms of monetary means. So someone who might have a lot of threes might find it difficult to be expressive, might find it, you know, that they feel kind of lost and might scatter their energy. But what they want to do is ground that creativity and really bring it forward in their lives. And then the four is, again,
can I ask you to pause? But before
yes.
you turn to the four, let me ask you something just coming up in my mind. Is
sure.
Just like tarot cards can be reversed and that changes sort of the character of them while maintaining it, can a one, in the good sense, be a good leader, but in a bad sense indicate sort of a bad leader?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember earlier in the show I was saying that you've got the greatest potential of every number and then you've got the weakness. And so one of the things with the one is that there is also a number called the 19, and 19 breaks down to one, but it's looked at as a 19. And the 19 refers to exactly what you're talking about. It's referring to a tendency towards being willful without diplomacy and sort of running over people. So someone who has a 19 will often have to overcome that tendency to be authoritarian or willful by having those kind of people in their lives. So they have to learn to become like a diamond, and they start out as a coal. And so through the rubbing of mirrors of that authoritarian type of rulership, they learn how to become more refined in their will. So they become, you know, they become good leaders. They learn how to walk that path with diplomacy and uniqueness and strong will, but not willfulness. So yes, absolutely, there is, and the same thing with,
you know,
with the two.
If you take some charismatic leaders, you can have a John F. Kennedy who's charismatic in a good way, and you can have an Adolf Hitler who's charismatic in a bad way.
Absolutely, or who you might call willful or authoritarian or dictatorship. Absolutely.
Right.
Yes, yes. And the same thing, you know, conversely with the two, you can find people who have twos prominent, and what they do is they're very repressed with their feelings. So you get a very passive-aggressive type person. On the outside, they seem to be very cooperative. They seem to be, you know, they'll do anything you want. They're real peacemakers, but it's all happening, you know, under the surface. They're like a volcano ready to erupt, and it comes out very, very passive-aggressive. We've all met people like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the negative part of the two. And the one, the negative part of the one is that they're very willful and they can, you know, they can just push over people. So, yes, in each of the numbers, there is an opportunity to refine that number and to bring the best out of the number.
Okay. Well, I'll let you resume with the fours now. Sorry to interrupt.
No. Please, please, Dave. That makes it more interesting. Absolutely. And it also gets me going in new ways. So that's great. So the four is made up of all straight numbers, and the four is the grounding number. It's the number of Mother Earth. And so you'll find that someone who has fours prominent in their chart, often as children, will hold on to the crib or to the playpen before they start to walk. They want to make sure that their I's are dotted, their T's are crossed. And, you know, the good news about the four is we live on planet Earth, and we can't just all be, you know, creative wizards without grounding it. If not, you know, nothing would get done in a day. You know, everybody would be out flying their airplane. So the fours are what ground us, and that's a really positive thing. On the negative side, fours can become very rigid. And, you know, they like, nope, sorry, you got to go by the rules. And also they can become very, very serious, so there's no humor. So, you know, you've got those aspects of it as well. You got that yin and that yang. And then the five is the bridge between the first four numbers and the last four numbers. It's the number of mankind. It's the number of movement, of travel, of keeping things going. Often people who have five in their chart are multitaskers. They love doing a myriad of things. They, you know, they're the ones that in school, if they didn't have a great teacher who kept them interested, their eyes were always wandering outside the window. They were always, you know, doing something else rather than listening. Because for them, for fives, the only way they learn is through their experience. They're not going to learn it from a textbook. They're not going to learn it from, you know, just reading about it on the internet. They have to experience it. So you find children who have fives prominent. If you say to them, Johnny, do not touch the stove because you're going to get burnt, they will immediately put their hand on the stove because they want that experience. So the great part of fives is they keep things moving. The negative, or, you know, that weakness of the five, is they can be like a rolling stone that gathers no moss. They're just going here, there, and everywhere. And sometimes for people who really have four prominence in their chart, if they're in a five time, they go nuts because they're like, they're not able to get anything done the way they want to. They're all over the place. They're traveling. They're not, you know, they don't have that white picket fence, that grounding. So it's interesting. And so
okay.
Now we'll move. Any questions or comments?
No, that sounds good.
The six is the number of, I like to call it Mother and Father Earth. They are the mommies and the daddies of the world. And you find with someone prominent with a six in their chart, they often go into healing fields. They can become doctors, nurses, practitioners, massage therapists, chiropractors, and or end up working with a very practical form of creativity. They often will be great gardeners, cooks, designers. They are the consummate craftsperson. And six is really about service. It's also about relationships. So anybody who has sixes in their chart, you'll find them in sometimes in multiple marriages or you know, dealing with having a lot of children and having to deal with family and really learning how to balance giving and receiving. Not that, you know, most of us don't have to learn that. It's just the six is really signifies that family, that familial relationships and service. And then seven, here we got. We have our magic seven. And seven is really about knowledge. Seven is about being able to balance both that spiritual depth and also logic. So it's really combining the mind and the body and combining heaven and earth. And it you often find that people prominent with sevens go very, very deeply into things. They also need alone time. They need time to be out in nature or to meditate or to do something that allows them to recuperate. And as I said, they can't scatter their energies. They have to go deeply into something or you know, more than one thing. But it's all about focus and about balancing that spiritual and logical nature. And then eight is an interesting number. It is literally the law of attraction. And for any of you listeners, those of you who have seen The Secret, that is really what the eight is about. And I always say to people that I do readings for is that eight should always be looked at as that infinity symbol. So above, so below. And if you're ever going to draw an eight, always draw it as that continuous loop from above and then circling around and reconnecting at the top. When I was a little girl, I don't know if you did this, Dave, but I used to draw I love doing this with my eights. I would draw two circles on top of each other. Did you ever do that?
No, I did it the old way where you start a downward stroke and then do the loop and then cross and go back up and do the upper loop. So.
That's the way you always want to do it. because
okay.
the eight is constantly moving, talking, thinking. Anybody who has a prominent eight in their chart, they never stop, and they're always in the future. And so the key to a number eight is balance, and to doing that the way that you, that downstroke and then looping it back up, because otherwise the weakness of the eight is that it begins to spin their wheel. So drawing the eight like two circles is a reminder of a cat or a mouse chasing its tail, and all you're doing is spinning your wheels. So that's the really important thing for an eight to remember, is to always have balance and to remember to not struggle and go into endless spinning, efforting, but rather to remember to use that creative spirit and then ground it on earth. Often, the eight is looked at as the number of money. So there you go again with the law of attraction, but you want to make sure you
okay.
got that balance. And then finally, the number nine. The number nine is the finishing number. So it like it takes a bit of all the numbers and it brings it into itself. So you find people with a nine having to learn some pretty big lessons. They often have to learn how to let go and let God, to surrender to something bigger than themselves. It's all about learning about unconditional love. And often you find people who have nines prominent in their chart that they do international travel, and that they're extraordinarily creative. They can be also very dramatic. So you find people who go into theater or acting or performance having a nine prominent in their chart.
Well, given how many people who are actors or whether it's film or stage, but especially for film, who seem to have a lot of personal problems in their lifestyle, do those go together?
Yeah, it's that drama. You know, it's not only the drama you get paid for on the screen, but it's, yeah. You know, the 11 sometimes also, unless it really grounds that visionary, the 11 can be very genius-like, and unless it's grounded and has a place to really channel that kind of intuition and visionariness, it can be extremely off-balanced. So, you know, all of the numbers do require that sense of balance. But you have the 4, the 8, to a certain extent, the 7 grounded, and sometimes the 3, the 9, the 11, the 2 as less grounded, more creative.
Okay. Well, this makes me think also, when you get into people either manic or depressive or bipolar,
mm-hmm.
are there numbers associated with those, given
you know,
sort of
they,
what you're talking
about?
They can
about? Be. They can be, yes, yeah. Because if you don't have grounding, sometimes you really get off in that. Of course, there's always exceptions. I knew someone who is very creative and had normally the number 6 is a number, as I said, of service and relationships. And he certainly had a lot of relationships, but he had that tendency to be imbalanced emotionally and mentally. And you didn't immediately see it in the number. So again, it's what we do with it. You know, it may or may not be visible there. You might have to look a little bit deeper to see what the other clues are. It's just like someone who sometimes who's been in an accident who has a brain injury. On the outside, you don't always see it. And sometimes you have to, you know, you really have to dig deeper. And, you know, our society is so dependent on the outer show that even with numbers, it's not always visible at first. You have to dig deeper.
Okay. Now, if we get into the double digits,
yeah.
Is there a 10? Is
so
there a
the
10?
7 exceptions are 11, 22, 33, and 13, 14, 16, and 19. So let's go with the 11, 22, and 33 first. The 11 we talked about a little bit, and that really signals the new age, both technology as well as healing and awakening to it. So often somebody who has an 11 prominent in their chart will have some sort of sudden shocks come in to awaken them. That can be death, it can be a relationship, it can be a spiritual awakening. And then what the 11 really needs to do is ground that knowledge, ground that spiritual awakening into something that allows them to take action here. The 22 is an aspect of the four, but often they feel like they have a very, they have a mission here. They have something bigger to do. So the most difficult thing for the 22 is often they feel overwhelmed. They know they've got something big to work on, a big organizational venue, but often they feel like, oh my God, how am I ever going to do this big thing that I'm supposed to do? So the best thing for them is to take these visionary ideas and to ground them one step at a time and to not get overwhelmed. And then the 33 okay. is dealing with an aspect of the six, which is all about service. It's often talked about as the Christ number, the number where you really feel like you're here to do a great good, to do some healing. When you see a 33 on someone's ultimate purpose, on their reality number, you know that they really have to come together with their talents and do something in the world that makes them feel like they are truly contributing. Hmm. Then you have the number 13. And I like to actually use these numbers and correspond them to the tarot cards that you talked about earlier. The 13 to me is akin to the death card. And does it mean that, you know, if that person has a 13 right off the bat in the prominent part of their chart that, you know, immediately they have to deal with death? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Death to me is also very symbolic. What it relates to is regeneration and reorganization. I always tell people of a 13 prominent in their chart that the 13 to me is like the goddess Kali in the Hindu tradition. And what she does is she dances on the skulls of men, and she symbolizes this cyclical lifetime where we start as babies and we grow into adolescence, and then we grow into adults, and then we go into older age, and then we go into death, and we start the process all over again. And so when someone has a 13 in either the predictive element of their chart or prominent, it usually means that they've had to really work on their security through regenerative opportunities, which sometimes can be physical death, and sometimes it just means that the elements of their life get shaken like an earthquake until they learn how to really find the security within themselves. When someone has a long period of 13 fours, I've seen them actually have to deal with not only the symbolic nature of death, but also learning how to work with death in the outer way. So they may actually work with hospice. They may work. I know a woman who had a 13-4 for 9 years, and she ended up doing extraordinary work with death and dying. She worked at a hospice, and she worked with all kinds of people to help them transition. And it was, you know, it was extraordinary for her, and she was a gift to everyone around her. So that's the 13. Then the 14 is dealing with, in the tarot cards, I often like to look at it as the devil. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that they're having to deal with values. The five can be very extreme. They're all about experience. So when you have the 14 there, they learn about what I call the spiritualization of material values. That, well, actually, this time when I was in Los Angeles, I was in Southern California for 3 months, and I had never actually been on even though I'd been an actress and I've been on movie sets, I'd never actually been to, you know, the studios there. And when I was there, I saw where they not only filmed many TV and movies, but there was an entire city that was like New York City. It was not an entire city. It was a set that was for like a street in New York, and it looked totally authentic. But as we know, it was just a Hollywood set. So correspondingly, the 14-5 has to learn what is just the outer show and what is true value. And often they will learn that through different things that come about in their lives. And they're shown that the outer show is empty, that it's just, you know, a Hollywood set. It's not a true city. It's not the reality. So they get their illusions popped. And often those people who have both a 5 and a 14-5 prominent will work on social causes and actually sometimes get very political as well. And then we have the 16-7 that corresponds to the 7, but it also relates to, in the tarot cards, it relates to the tower. So the 16-7 is all about learning true knowledge. For someone who has a 16-7 in their natal chart, often they have to completely rejuvenate the beliefs, both religious as well as dogmatic beliefs that they were brought up in. And you find them having to find their own way, more than, you know, just the rest of us. That they really literally have to find their own pathway to learning what beliefs to hold on to and which ones to let go of. And even though, as I said, most of us have to do a certain amount of that, for those prominent with a 16, you see that it's a great theme in the early part of their life. And depending upon how they grasp it, it can have a dominant theme the rest of their life. And then finally, okay, we have the 19, and that 19 is exactly what you talked about, you know, at the very beginning of the show. It is about bringing that one into a place of diplomacy and being a good leader. So the 19 will often have very authoritarian type, controlling types in their lives, so that they learn how to really bring in their own will and to refine that.
Okay. Very cool. Now, in the 19, if you did the reversal, what do you end up with?
Well, the 19 is that strong. I mean, it's someone who's unique, who's very talented, who can be very witty, who can be, you know, really do things that create their own path. So the positive part of the 19 is they learn how to take their will and refine it and become diplomatic and yet very strong and unique. So it's just that they have a greater lesson with that. So the 13, the 14, the 16, and the 19 all have, you know, an added lesson, like it's right in their face. They don't get away with that number just as easily as if it were plain 1 or a plain 5 or a plain 7.
Okay.
Or a straight up 4. There's a little bit of an added agenda. They've got to get the lesson of the number. It's in their face, so to speak.
Okay. Well, let's. I'll just remind listeners that we're open to take calls and even go ahead and do the mini reading. But while we're waiting for people to dial in, you know, the theme of the show is you know, science and magic of numbers and spiritual guidance for real life solutions. So tell me how the guidance works, because I'm unclear on where a description of how you are leaves off and a description of what you can do to move forward comes in.
Well, when one does a numerology chart, as I said, the numbers taken, and there's a lot of them on the main part of the chart. What you get to look at through the configuration of both the name on the birth certificate and your birth date is an unfoldment that will talk about your childhood, we'll talk about the key elements of your lessons of what, you know, in other words, what this lifetime has been heralded for you, what lessons come forward, and what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses. And then there is a portion of the chart that also then unfolds a more predictive element, which can talk about, you know, what are the tendencies for the past, the present, and the future. So when you take all of that together, there are, you know, as you and I know, there are times in our lives where we feel like we're lost, that we are, you know, we're in the car, we're in a traffic jam. It feels like it's a parking lot, and as far as we can see, forward and backward, all we see is cars, and we're not going to get to our appointment. We're just going to be stuck there forever. So what can happen with a numerological reading, as the same as psychic reading, is that it gives us the opportunity to take a new perspective, to get out of the forest and move above the trees so that one can see. It's the very same thing if you're stuck in traffic and then someone landed on top of your car and said, come on, I've got a helicopter, come with me. And you get to go up, you know, whether it's 100 feet or, you know, 10,000 feet, you're going to get a different perspective as you go higher. And so that's the aspect of the spirituality when, you know, you have, it's always dependent upon who's reading as well, as you know. But what can happen here is that you get that perspective so that you can go beyond the forest and you can see clearer where you need to go in the future. And, you know, we all need at times that sense of clarity. So what I do when I work with people is I work to, you know, show them sort of the blueprint of what's going on, what went on in the past, what's going on now, what's possible for the future, and then to clarify their own intuition, to clarify their own strengths, to bring them to the best of themselves. So that's how you take that spiritual guidance and then you make it very real and practical for, you know, our lives today and tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we have a caller, so I'm going to bring on the person with area code 303. Hi, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
And who's this?
This is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Jennifer.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. So I'll let Francois go ahead and work with you.
All right. Real good.
Jennifer, you've got a question about numbers or psychic readings?
Yeah, it's numbers. I'm interested in the numerology part of everything.
All right. Go ahead and ask me a question.
Well, I'm in the process of making a move. And I don't even know that question. is this a real good move for me?
Okay, so you're wanting more of a reading rather than a question about numerology.
Well, help me with a question with numerology. What would
I ask? What do you want to know about numbers? What do you want to know about numerology?
I'm just fascinated by them, how they keep coming up and that they repeat themselves. And
yeah.
I'm just real fascinated by them.
You know, interesting, you just brought up something with a move, and one of the things I remember from really the inception of learning about numerology is that where you live, the numbers that the street address, the number of your apartment, if you're in an apartment, actually makes a difference, and that even the numbers where you live absolutely resonate and my brother actually believes in this because he knows I've been doing numerology forever, but he always says, all right, so when I go here, how is that number? And so it can influence you even where you move. So there are certain numbers that when I was in Los Angeles, I knew where I was. I thought I was going to stay. And I, as it turned out, 2 weeks after I moved there, I lost my place to live. So when I was looking for alternative places to live, I paid attention to what the number was, and if it was a resonance to not only my own chart but to the vibration that I wanted to be with. So that's another word. I know that's gotten a bit overused in the 21st century is vibration, but we also know that everything has a vibration. You know, whether it's our own bodies and the molecular components of it, or numbers themselves, they have a vibration that, you know, resonates for us or more challenging to us.
So if I was to be looking into opening a business, mm-hmm. Like a healing center, what numbers would I be looking at?
Great question. You know, 6 is a number of service and healing. The number 11 also is a number of healing. So depending upon, go ahead and Jennifer, give me your birth date. What is your birth date?
11/26/53.
And just for our listeners, when someone says 11/26/53, and I'm not saying you always want, how you add it up is you add up the 11, the 26, and then you add up 1953. And then depending upon what it comes out to, you will reduce it to a single digit, or if it's one of the 7 exceptions, you keep it as the double digit. So let's look at it. So the 11 does not break down. The 26 breaks down to 8. 1953 is 18, 9. So we got 17 and 11, right? Am I right so far?
You are.
So you are a 10. You're a 28-1. So we started out with a number 1. So, you know, you are someone that definitively has always danced or walked to your own drumbeat. You've had to, you know, pave your own way. You're an original bushwhacker. We see with the number 8 there on your birthday that you also someone that really needs to have balance, that you're always thinking, doing, you know, you're always, your mental wheels are always spinning. So you got to just make sure it's balanced. And you definitely are direct. You know, you're someone that can stand alone and would be best doing your own, you know, your own business, your own unique way. So with the 1 there, I would say, and the 8, a 6 would be great. So looking for something that, you know, evolved with 6 would be very complimentary for you.
Well, that's wonderful information. You got everything just right. I mean, my mind just goes and goes and goes.
You know, I know. The 8 is always it. So you really just need to have that time, that downtime, and you can't go. You just can't go to extremes. The 8 can't do that.
Right.
Anyway, it really has to have that time because you're a go-getter. I mean, the 1 is a go-getter. The 8's a go-getter.
Uh-huh. I have to pull the reins back a lot of times and go, whoa, you've got to stop for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I enjoyed listening to the show.
Yeah, don't go, Jennifer.
Oh, okay.
I have a question.
No, Dave, you can't ask questions. No.
Sure I can. You're talking about addresses.
It's my show. It's my show. I can ask questions. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, can you tell from Jennifer's street address if, given what her numbers are for her name or her birth date,
sure.
If that house is the wrong place and she shouldn't have been in there in the first place?
Yeah, well, we can't ever say should and never, but
yeah.
Sure. What house do you live in? What's your street
address? It's 108.
Don't give us a street, just the numbers.
Okay, 10850, and then I live on numbers.
Okay, so let's look at 10850, so that would be 9 and 5. So that's a 14-5, and then you're in an apartment, so number...
No, it's a house. But I'm on
the
street that's a number.
It's a number like 7th Street or something?
Uh-huh. It's 2-3.
So tell me again. So it's 14. It's 10850 23rd Street?
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Well, so let's look at that. That's so you have 10850, so that's 1 and 8 is 9 and 5 is 14-5, and then 14 plus 20, that's a 5 plus 23 breaks down to a 5. So guess what that breaks down to?
A 5?
No. 5
no,
and 5 add up to?
Oh, 10.
1. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So, fabulous. So it's a place that you can do your own thing.
Uh-huh.
You might be more singular, but it also feels, it resonates for you.
Yes, it does. Very much so.
Yeah. When I was in L.A., I finally settled in a place, and it was a 1. And I'm also, I'm a 19-1 birth force, so I have a 19-1 in my chart. And it actually was a great place. I mean, I had it to someone else, it might have felt too alone or singular, but for me, it felt very comfortable, and that's what it would feel like for you. It would be very comfortable.
Yeah, it's home. It's home.
Yeah.
But I also know it's time for me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But it has
mm-hmm.
been home. This is home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, Dave, for having me do that.
Sure. I was curious, and that's kind of fun to lead into that. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, you both have a good night.
Thank you so much,
Jennifer.
Thank
you for calling.
Uh-huh, and I'll continue to listen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No, that was great. Do we have another caller? I would do one more.
We're just about out of time here. So, let's see. Where else have we not gone? And we can ask you a quick question. You were talking about addresses. Would you normally use an address with the name of the street and the city and the state and the zip, or would you just use for the address, just the numerical part of the number or the main
usually
street?
Usually I just use the numerical part, and then I look at if they're in a unit or something like that. I don't usually take the zip code and the city and do a whole thing that way, no. I just take the numerical portion of it.
Okay. How about phone numbers? Do those mean anything?
You know something? Some people might do that, but I don't. But there are resonances to numbers. You know, I have a certain number to my. I like my cell phone number. I really like it. I like sixes, and so I have a lot of sixes in my cell phone number, and I think it's more. I don't take it apart to that extent. I think sometimes we can go a little bit too far with things. So I try not to be too OCD with it, but to just really use it for what it was meant to be, which is a signpost, a tool, a clue, to better our lives and to do what, we talked about, which is to use spiritual guidance to create, beneficial changes and to live our lives in more positive, actualized ways.
Okay. Well, I think we're about at the stopping point here. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And I'll let listeners know that for personal readings, Françoise can be reached through www.bodymindynamics, all one word, .org, or by calling 303-960-6000. So there are a lot of sixes there.
There are.
And by,
go ahead.
And by email to FENNETTER, so it looks like fennetter at yahoo.com.
That's actually FENETTER. It's not two N's. It's just FE.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
FENETTER at yahoo.com.
Yep.
And I want to thank everyone for joining the show tonight. We have a quick drawing here. And the winner is Sandy, who also goes by Amma. And important, there will be no show next week. We'll rejoin you on May 12th with guest Anita Owens, who is a medical intuitive. So thank you, everybody, and good night.